For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'm George Eliason, and this is the radio broadcast from TNT, breaking the news of the War of the Worlds. In front of the microphone, you won't be hearing armchair generals and think tankers paid to run propaganda for NATO and the Biden administration. This microphone is fitted with a special filter to keep the propaganda and false expertise out. This is not the hour for repeating what you've already heard and rehashing what you already know. This isn't a crosstalk of reporters pushing their bylines in exchange for your money. This isn't the BBC's hard talk with its soft scented confectionery manufactured at the Foreign Office in MI6. They are the alien invaders. This is the hour when you'll be able to hear the news breaking from the news fronts throughout Europe and from your ears to your brains. Not the alien invaders, but the fresh, original human analysis of what the breaking news means. So sit tight. Here goes. Starting off, we're going to discuss something that came up this week that was just really incredible. That has to do with Washington, Trump, Ukraine, and plagiarism. Now, all through this week, Laura Loomer has been claiming she's breaking the biggest story of her life and tying in a Ukrainian named Sergei Dubunin into the Capitol Hill riots, claiming he was a spy going into the Capitol. And that's what was illegal about it. The reality is Laura Loomer didn't break this story at all. It's been around for the last few years. And in fact, I wrote the first version of this at Creative Destruction Media. But it's not the plagiarism, the stealing of the story. And she's trying to actually steal most of the stories I've written over the last 8 years now. It's the fact that she doesn't understand the story to begin with. That's what's actually the most bothersome about this. Loomer has a big social following, and she has contact with people who can start or push legal investigations. Now, I did the background on Sergei Dubunin that is circulated through every media outlet in the West. I put the background together. When I was working on a story, I got a call from XR Vision, and the owner of XR Vision is a guy named Yaakov Applebaum. He's a great guy, great researcher, but he wanted a background, wanted to know who Dubunin was because he knew I was working on the story. So I gave him the background. I even pulled the arrest warrants out for him in Donbass. And he was at that point coming in, working with 1+1 Ukrainian media and serving as a spy, spotting targets for the Ukrainian army. But that's not what he was doing at the Capitol Hill riot. What he was doing instead was drawing attention to himself to keep the attention away from Azov Battalion, who did at least two of the three break-ins, and they're on film. He was there with Igor Kolomoisky's Glavred media outlet. And they followed Azov around doing this. The Azov commander involved in this is a guy named Maxim Yarosh. And Yarosh is a commander that they have in charge of actually whipping up riots to violence. He was the perfect guy to do this. And Yarosh actually left and flew into Ecuador on January 7th. So from there, he flew out of Ecuador with former Ukrainian President Peter Poroshenko. Now, something happened after this that was really, really interesting. It was a neat experience for me. I got contacted by DD Geopolitics, Sarah Bills and Tyler Pop, and they wanted to do a Twitter Spaces on this. They organized it, and unfortunately, my connection didn't hold up with Twitter, which is a shame. But I'm really grateful that, you know, they took the time and the care to do this. So what's the big problem with Loomer taking the story, you know, other than, you know, it being personal? If you try to prosecute Sergei Dubunin for anything or investigate him, it's going to be the same situation as the investigation since the election fraud. There was a lot of garbage thrown up in the air, and that garbage kept the real stories from being investigated. It kept the real people with evidence from coming to the forefront because they just took over media. And what ended up happening is everything was thrown out. Even going to court with real evidence, all the judge and the defense had to do was rely on the headlines and call it fake news. If Loomer and people like her are allowed to do this, what happens in real time is that you get this sensational headline that she did, but it pushes away from the people who actually committed the crimes. Dubunin can't be prosecuted for anything. He didn't do anything illegal. The tragedy of this is Loomer knows so little about these stories that she's reporting that the actual value. I mean, can you imagine being a thief and not understanding the value of what you're stealing? People are sitting in jail because of January 6th, and the real story could actually help them on appeal. And Loomer's story and stories like this will take that away from them. That's the absolute tragedy. Let's get into some Ukraine news. Now, this happened on September 7th, 2023. In the news, Ukraine was saying that Russia did a big missile attack on an open market in Kostyantynivka. 17 people were killed. Now, from Ukrainian sources, separate Ukrainian sources that were able to follow the trajectory of the missiles said it came from the northwest. Now, Russia does not have a history of attacking civilian targets. It's Ukraine that does. And if you look to the northwest, well, you're in Ukraine to begin with. I mean, where would Russia fire from northwest? I mean, where from? Kiev? Lviv? This happened at the same time Blinken was in Ukraine. And this was to make an exclamation point to the West, to Blinken, how evil Russia was, when in fact, this kind of attack had to have been ordered from the presidential administration, from the Army General Command. Zelensky, provably, if you follow the angle of the dangle, blatantly struck this small town, blatantly struck this open air market and killed 17 of his own people and wounded 32 others. This is Ukraine today. Now, we look at what happened in Sevastopol, and this missile attack by Ukraine is something that we've been waiting for quite a while. Now, they either use UK Storm Shadow or French Scalp cruise missiles. These missiles supposedly were there for defense purposes, weren't they? Weren't they? There was a prohibition of using them on Russian territory, and quite frankly, Sevastopol has been Russian territory since the Tsar's time. The Russian military maintained a base there from Soviet times till today, and that's never changed. Using these missiles right now, using these missiles, period, and taking firing into Russian territory with them, it's an escalation that goes beyond belief. Think of it this way. The UK is providing storm shadows. The storm shadows are hitting, let's say, we get to the point where Russian civilians are killed. By international law, the laws of war, Russia is more than free to go after the source of the storm shadow or French scalp cruise missiles. And that's a reality. Should the UK or France trust the safety of their own citizens, their own assets, their own infrastructure, to the good sense of Ukrainian leadership, who's proven time and time again they have no common sense? Really think about this. Now, as we're going on, Boris Johnson, Zelensky's good friend, has actually issued a direct plea to Donald Trump. Now, this is after years of being, about as anti-Trump as you can get, a direct plea to Donald Trump not to ditch U.S. support for Ukraine if he becomes president in 2024. What is Boris Johnson seeing? What does this man and people on the old continent know about the election that Joe Biden doesn't at this point? Is the writing on the wall for the Democratic Party? Will Donald Trump be elected president again in 2024? It seems so. Now, writing for The Spectator, after a trip to Ukraine, he lobbied Republicans to keep faith in the war-torn country. And he's warning Donald Trump that a Russian triumph could boomerang on his administration. The Ukrainians have been attacking Donald Trump since 2016, and it's been nonstop. Keep in mind, both impeachments were done because of the Ukrainians, and the Ukrainians had a hand in it. And the Ukrainian diaspora in America and worldwide was pushing it. And they put a ton of money in this. So for Donald Trump, what actually changes? According to The Spectator, Johnson said a Putin victory would be a catastrophe for the West and for American leadership. And I don't believe it is an outcome that could easily be endured by a U.S. president, let alone one who wanted to make America great again. Can you imagine the gall it took to write this? From somebody that was very much in the know on what was going down with Russiagate. Boris Johnson was actually talking to the people doing it. And that's something that I'm going to put into big exclamation points next week. I'm going to be updating a lot of the work I did. What does all this mean for us? The road for Donald Trump is going to get a lot harder as the election season winds up. How much harder can it get? And how much more Ukrainian involvement can there be? Now, I want to go back and, you know, because this is radio, you can't see it. But if you've seen the booking pictures of Donald Trump, really think about that. Now, if we go back to that day, what would the date, August 24th, 2023, what other reason would it be important? And who would the booking of Donald Trump on that particular day be a gift to? It would be a hell of a gift to the people that made two impeachments possible. And because of that, movements to bar him from running are being set up in court right now in Colorado, for instance. Thursday, August 24th, 2023 wasn't just the booking of Donald Trump. It was Ukraine's Independence Day. Can you imagine a greater Independence Day gift for Ukraine than that, to know what happened? This is how much weight the Ukrainian diaspora has in America. Politics don't allow, politics today don't allow things to happen by chance. The fact that these two events coincide on the same day makes it very clear to people in the know that they're tied together. It was a thank you to Ukraine for January 6th. It was a thank you to Ukraine for two Trump impeachments. It was a thank you to Ukraine for Russiagate. That's what this day means to the Democrats, to the Ukrainian diaspora, and to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Okay, we're going to take another break. This is War of the Worlds with George Eliason, and we'll be back in a moment.
TNT Radio's Alan Miller.
A big hurrah, a big shout out to Cambridge, to all of the protesters and the campaigners that were challenging the congestion charge that have now enabled a new situation to happen for the council to recognise this, to step back and not implement it at the moment. This has been a huge victory. Brilliant campaigners. It's a great example of what happens when the public say, we don't want this, we want our voices heard, and they campaign and organise. We don't just think that anything's inevitable, it's all just part of this thing or that thing, and that we assert our agency. It's also to be noted that, of course, as ULEZ has been implemented, all sorts of things have happened. Bromley Council, maybe seen as a bit of tit for tat, said they're going to charge TfL vans if they park on the verge. But more substantially, we've seen that Noel Wilcox has had a number of charges overturned in the tribunal, saying that the signs demarcating them are not acceptable according to English law. Obviously, the answer to that might be, well, the mayor will just spend more of our money, as he has been doing on things.
Alan Miller and today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. Those 9 months were also 273 days of planning. What about your daughter's first costume party? It was out of this world. And let's not forget those barbecues you plan in detail for your family and your more vegetarian by the day best friends. That surprise party for your parents' golden anniversary? You get the golden planning. The same way you plan each detail for those moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The Black Lives Matter Network, or BLM Network, founded by the three black female activists who created the hashtag Black Lives Matter hashtag, can be differentiated from the BLM movement, a more amorphous collection of racial justice groups. The BLM Network is a structured organization that has 34 chapters. Gaza described the network as an online platform that existed to provide activists with a shared set of principles and goals. Local Black Lives Matter chapters are asked to commit to the organization's list of guiding principles, but operate without a central structure or hierarchy. Gaza has commented that the network was not interested in policing who is and who is not part of the movement. The Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, one of the main organizations coordinating organizing and mobilization efforts across the Black Lives Matter network, reportedly raised up to $90 million in 2020. Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, Inc. is a global organization in the US, UK, and Canada, whose stated mission is to eradicate white supremacy and build local power to intervene on violence on black communities by the state and vigilantes. The Black Lives Matter movement founders have connections to large radical left organizations. The connection to the left has made the BLM movement rich and influential. Influence Watch estimates that groups associated with the BLM movement have taken in $133 million since 2013. Organizations associated with liberal billionaire George Soros are said to have provided at least $33 million to various BLM movement groups since 2016. In 2015, the fundraising club Democracy Alliance, led by liberal donors like George Soros and Taco Bell heir Rob McKay, recommended its donors to increase contributions to endorsed groups that have supported the Black Lives Matter movement.
You're listening to War of the Worlds with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we've got a special guest commentator today, Simona Mangianti Papadopoulos. Now, if you're not familiar with her, and it's hard to believe you're not, Simona's a lawyer with extensive experience working in diplomatic relations and international law. She spent 7 years working in child protection policies and human rights at the European Parliament in Brussels, and working as a lawyer with the European Union as an expert on cases including child kidnapping. In 2016, she became the director of international and diplomatic relations at London's Center for International Law Practice. In 2018, she moved to the United States, where she married political contributor and author George Papadopoulos, and she's continued to pursue her acting career. She started her own fashion line, Agape by Simona, which is doing very well, and is currently focusing on her work as an entrepreneur and interviewer slash political commentator. She's interviewed prominent politicians from the current Italian government. She was a candidate in the 2022 Italian elections. And Simona was the lead interviewer for Ukraine, The Everlasting Present, produced by Global Tree Pictures. Simona, welcome.
Great to hear from you, George.
Simona, I wanted to, it's been a while since we talked, and I just talked about the importance of August 24th, the day that Donald Trump was booked and that famous or infamous booking picture came out. Now, you have a very unique perspective on this because of your work with Global Tree Pictures doing that documentary, Ukraine, The Everlasting Present. And here's why. August 24th is also Ukraine's Independence Day.
Yes.
And since nothing in the political world happens by chance, it seems that they made this happen as a gift to Ukraine and Zelensky on Ukraine's Independence Day. I mean, it would be like on July 4th in World War II if someone captured Adolf Hitler and put him in jail.
George,
thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. And you pointed out a really odd coincidence, which, as you stated, there are not many coincidences in politics. This date marks probably the most blatant example of shameless weaponization of the Department of Justice against a political player like Donald Trump, who has been targeted since 2016, even before, first place to prevent him to run for office and then to delegitimize his presidency all the way, while in fact under Joe Biden, already under Obama presidency as a vice president, was doing business in Ukraine, as I had the opportunity to explain during my work in Kyiv for the documentary you mentioned, The Everlasting Present. Now, 30 years was the date. Only 2 years later, we have a new wave of interference in the presidential election, this time to prevent Donald Trump to run on 2024. And at the same time, we have a war that has been initiated by Joe Biden, instigated by Joe Biden, I would say, and I'm pretty comfortable in saying this, in actually outing my opinion, which reflects nothing more, nothing less than facts, and has been facts have been corroborated and anticipated already during this work I've done 2 years ago. So we have the situation in which now Joe Biden has started this bloody war, spreading the propaganda of democracy, peace, and national freedom, while in fact was hiding his dirt on Ukraine. He's a person who started an entire war just to, for no other reason, that hide his corruption and his son's corruption in this area of the world. Of course, I simplified at the extreme the entire situation, but just to deliver a clear message that I hope will come across the minds of all our listeners here, is that this war is absolutely has been portrayed viciously, and whoever took the chance to watch not only the specific documentary we're discussing right now, The Everlasting Present, but also the other two masterpiece from Igor Lopatonok and our Ukraine on Fire, Revealing Ukraine. If we really had this information vehicled correctly to people, probably most of our listeners would already know the reason behind this bloody war. And definitely there is not because of one monster and one saint. That's really a story for kids that have been telling to the world.
Now that there's, you know, and you mentioned it, that, you know, a new round of persecutions. And in Colorado, they're starting to do a suit to block Donald Trump from being on the ballot for violating the 14th Amendment. And, you know, he's accusing him of sedition. You cannot run for president if you committed sedition against the United States because of January 6th. How much further do you think they can go with this? You know, other than an outright assassination attempt, how far can they go?
Absolutely. That's actually the scary aspect. There is a character assassination and there is a physical assassination that I fear, and many other people fear at this point. Of course, we know that this, the freedom of speech is challenged in the first place. And Donald Trump did nothing more, nothing less than challenging the result of the election, which should be his entitlement, his right, as any other citizen right. The circumstances of the election were particularly shady. And, you know, as far as everybody has been witnessing the situation unfolding, calling for probably new election or for a better voting system shouldn't be censored and shouldn't lead to a prosecution that I would more correctly qualify as a persecution. I think that the weaponization of the DOJ to a political hand is blatant. I think all the forces have been already put in place to stop one man from doing his job and actually being a voice out of the system that want to run the United States independently by the person in charge. I really believe in the same Biden has been maneuvered by many people in many ways in multiple occasions, and we know that is is actually incompetent in many aspects, besides, of course, being accountable for his corruption, which is now under the eyes of everybody to witness. But the real question is how far they're ready to go to stop Donald Trump. And that's where I believe there is a reason to fear. I'm actually personally concerned, even though there is something about Donald Trump that we should bear in mind. It's not the man, it's what the man created. It's not simply Donald Trump, it's the MAGA movement. And that's why we see so many people supporting Trump, advocating for Trump, or defending Trump. You know, not the man, but his vision for America, being targeted as well. And I am one of them, as you know. So they can try to stop the man, but they can't so easily eradicate what the man created already. And it is there in the consciousness of many Americans that live every day the shame that these last years of Biden presidency have led to. So it's really interesting to see how there is this the power of the people that is challenging the deep state, and that's what we're seeing it unfolding. What we see happening, we see a man who is a victim of persecution, political persecution, because Donald Trump, but also the people who supported Donald Trump, who have been advocating for Donald Trump, being targeted as well because they want to eradicate the man and the movement he created, and the consciousness that he instilled in the people to be awake.
I wanted to get into that next, because now we have Giuliani under indictment. We have, you know, other members of Trump's circle like yourself under not just public scrutiny, but legal scrutiny. And for non-crimes that they didn't commit. Now, how many times can this go on before the public, and the Democratic public, the Democratic members of the Democratic Party from the public across America, they've got to realize that if this goes, you know, if you do this to one person and make it okay, it's good all the way around. You set a precedent that's just going to go on and on forever now. With your connections and the people that you talk to, where does all this end?
I personally believe until there is accountability, this will never change. Actually, the saddest aspect of this very criminal, I would say, indictments, investigations, legal scrutiny of innocent people just because they're associated by the man they want to stop, to explain it in very simple words. The fact that there is no accountability whatsoever, besides a few people like ourselves talking about that, or our lawyers defending our cases, or public perception being twisted and manipulated by deceptive media outlets. There is no immune system to this mechanism. So I believe we need to retrieve the independence of our DOJ. We should start to hold accountable all those who even start investigations for no reason, because this causes a lot of stress, damages, and twist the public perception to, of course, fraudulently portray reality in a way that will lead to, of course, put their votes in some other direction. Besides physical manipulation of the voting system, there is also this other, even bigger manipulation of the public opinion through this, through promoting and this idea of criminals around Trump, or the criminals in the movement, or just because of people are portrayed or persecuted, prosecuted, investigated for no reason, just by association. It's important to switch a power in 2024, but it's also even more important that these people are held accountability for everything they've done. Without accountability, without counter indictments and, you know, prosecution, because we're not here to persecute anybody, this will never stop. And actually, the saddest aspect of all this is that even public opinion has become numb to those news. There is an a new indictment for Donald Trump. It's normal. There is a new indictment for Rudy Giuliani. All right. You know, they instilled in people consciousness that these people are meant to be involved in something shady. So doesn't even make real news. Just try to reinforce this brainwashing machine they try to promote so hard. And it's really the saddest aspect of them all. These people are master in marketing and projection, of course, and they did a very vicious job over years that now is paramount to unmask. It's important to unmask their game.
You and George are still going through this too, right? Last time we talked, you talked about a FARA investigation. How are things shaping up on that end?
Well, I'm currently under investigation of the DOJ simply based on the fact that I ran for office last year in my country, Italy. So, you know, for a position that was completely unrelated to any work in United States of America. And also, this story has been covered by one of the major Italian newsletter outlets, it's called Corriere della Sera, and in which actually they disclosed pretty interesting information that since the last 8 years, so pretty much since FARA was instituted, only three Italian citizens have been requested to register under FARA, which means that all the elected officials in the foreign constituency of North America, which are operating, have not been requested to register under FARA, have not been investigated about the obligation to potentially register under FARA. So what really drew the attention of the American government, FARA segment, very toward me, which I wasn't elected, by the way. I was running for office in Italy on a position which is completely unrelated to the United States of America. And I dare mentioning, probably during my rallies in Torino, Italy, in the north of Italy, Donald Trump, who has been actually people who knows me in Italy, also for my public exposure in America, mentioned him. And this is a scene. And in the context of the letter, Donald Trump is mentioned. And that shows just unequivocally and blatantly their targeting. Only because, of course, they perceive me as somebody that had been supporting this man. And it's just insane. It's just, I think, the worst dictatorship you can possibly fathom in the biggest facade for democracy.
I agree. And if you haven't read it, I would suggest reading Deep State Target if you want to really understand their story. George and Simona Papadopoulos weren't involved in any type of intrigue. And in coming in to an advisory position in a campaign, all of a sudden, you know, the story itself is just simply amazing. And quite frankly, I think it outweighs a lot of the other stories from the people that were targeted simply by the fact that they had long histories in politics and they had networks to fall back on. And both George and Simona were on their own through most of this, and they had to navigate this. It went beyond a world of intrigue. I mean, you know, it's like spy versus you, private citizen, for how long? And then the indictments, and then the persecutions, and then the prosecutions. I'm just amazed at the courage that you both showed standing up to this.
Thank you so much. It's been a hard journey that has been unfolding, unfortunately, by extension involving also many other people who found themselves in the same situation. And it's been an escalation precisely because ever since, no matter many players have been outed to be corrupted and to weaponize the Department of Justice to a political end, there is still no accountability. We can get back to the Durham report for a second because it's something that George and I really were waiting for. And even though, let's say, in some extent, the Durham report vindicated everything we've been saying for being true, actually. We were challenging since the very first day the legitimacy of the Mueller hoax. I call it Mueller hoax. So let's say the Mueller probe, which is completely legally ungrounded, but involved many people, including my husband, in this senseless journey that led him to spend 12 of his precious days of his precious life in a prison. And this is absolutely unacceptable when you've done nothing criminal, you've done nothing but telling the truth, and you didn't bend to the blackmails of exposing something fake just to have Donald Trump impeached or delegitimized or whatever plan we know now, which was the plan. Now, the fact that George, with his integrity, stood against this plot, and it was very intuitive already back on time in understanding their games, because I always say it was patient zero in all this situation. And I was accessory there at his side, knowing one of the key players of this Russia hoax, the Professor Mifsud, who actually is the one that started the crossfire routine, providing George this, planting to George's information about Hillary Clinton, his email. I don't know how much familiar all the people are, our audience is, with the story. But the fact that I spoke out not only as a fiancé in the beginning and a wife, but also as a witness in the case, because I worked with the man, mm-hmm. and I knew his connection to the Western intelligence world. I know his connection to the socialist world. I know he was campaigning for Hillary Clinton because of my professional before. I worked for the European Parliament 7 years, and that's in this context I met Professor Mifsud before even joining the London Center of International Law Practice. So because we were genuinely cooperating in to nothing but the truth, our loyalty was to the mm-hmm. truth, we found ourselves target together.
Yeah, you certainly
in this
did.
Terrible situation. So when the Durham report came out, we were happy to learn what you already knew. Let's say he confirmed that this entire Russia hoax was legally grounded, but we were a little disappointed to what the report didn't remotely cover, such as Mifsud or other aspects that we thought were paramount to held accountable all those that started this for no reason, and you know, played with people's lives for no reason.
We've got to take a quick break, Simona. This is TNT Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
We've had rogues and rapscallions as presidents, statesmen and scoundrels, but never in the history of this great republic have we had as disgraceful, as duplicitous, as thoroughly corrupt a president as Joseph Robinette Biden. And not since 9/11 2002 have we had a president who failed to commemorate the victims of that national tragedy, either in New York or Washington or Shanksville, or a combination of the above. But Stumblebum Joe this year couldn't have been bothered. And by all reports, the families were actually relieved. But the true measure of Joseph Biden as president is the Babylon Bee headline, which read that because his tower had once collapsed in Jenga, he could relate to the family's pain, suffering, and loss. Not far-fetched when you consider that he went to Lahaina and tried to connect to the victims of that tragedy by relating a story about a kitchen fire that got out of control and imperiled his beloved Corvette in the garage. I had dinner tonight with an Air National Guard chaplain who said that when he first started out, he was taught a great lesson that if you have an experience that's similar to one that someone you're counseling has experienced, keep it to yourself. It's irrelevant to their situation. And that's where Joe Biden stands vis-a-vis America. He's irrelevant. From MAGAinstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You should hear what Steve Malzberg is talking about.
Harry Johnson, welcome, sir.
Delighted to be here.
What made you run? Why are you running? And I can ask the same question of just about every Republican except Donald Trump. Why are you running when obviously there's no chance of winning?
Well, whether or not there's a chance of winning remains to be seen, but I will give you this. It looks like Donald Trump has his poll numbers go up every time he gets an indictment, and right now he's sitting up there in a pretty rosy position. position. I think in the last poll, he was somewhere around 57%. So you would have to say that anyone running is probably nuts in the event they think they're going to beat him. However, right. America is a very funny place, and you never know what's going to happen. I don't think anybody can doubt the fact that there is a lot going on in Donald Trump's life, that there is an awful lot going on in terms of what is going to happen in the period of the next 5 to 6 months, and it remains to be seen what the result is going to be.
The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And welcome back, Simona Maggianti Papadopoulos, to join us today. And we're really getting into the heart of what actually is going on in American politics. And it's spreading around the world. Simona, thank you for coming on. We've got about 8 minutes left. I wanted to ask you now, you were recently in Serbia, and you did some interviews there, and you both made some statements that, you know, for American policy under Biden, it would be something that he'd wince at, talking about, you know, American policy back then. Can you tell us about your experience there?
Absolutely. Thanks so much, George. It's always a pleasure to be on the show, as I said. Well, definitely, I think it's pretty obvious to mostly this part of the world that under Trump, none of this senseless conflict would have happened. Actually, everybody is pretty much aware, mostly in Serbia, has a former Soviet republic, that the situation is deeper than what the United States portrayed to be. And there's been a terrible pressure that has been promoted precisely by Joe Biden, and that under Trump would have been smoothed in another direction diplomatically for a different outcome. It was very interesting actually to talk to the media and to witness the level of awareness that the news media has in Serbia, unlikely than in America. So it's how important is communication, how important to vehicle certain messages, and also to find on the other side people ready to listen, ready to understand geopolitical balances in a different fashion than the one viciously portrayed by certain mainstream media in America and United States. I think it's time, mostly in view of the election of 2024, to shake consciousness and open eyes, and open also the door to the American audience to understand that it's important to look outside the borders, even when it comes to news. Mm-hmm. And verify their sources, compare, and understand how much of reality is happening over there, of a much of different perception is happening over here in the European continent, and I'm talking now even like in a former Republic of the Soviet Union, where these dynamics are probably understood much better than even in the Western Europe, and let alone in America. So we are, I hope this communication was breaking through some communication channel and open people to be aware of comparing information sources and also consult the different outlets.
Now, what are you hearing about the European perception of the Ukrainian war right now?
Well, unfortunately, I came to the realization that European Union is at political level is acting more like a colony in the United States and than an ally. There is the European Union leadership, whatever that means, because it's really incoherent by statute, by the way, because the way we should take decisions should be very different, that is blindly following Joe Biden instruction. But on a lower, like say, on another level, on a most realistic level, people start to question decisions of their leaders. And mostly in Italy, my country, people start to guess why we are implementing sanctions to Russia, while actually Russia has been nothing but our ally, our political our economic partner for so many years. We are suffering a terrible inflation because of the senseless sanction, mostly when it comes to gas providers. Russia was our first gas provider, so we have to find alternative sources until our reserves are almost completely exploited. For which reason exactly? To support Ukraine against Russia. We should promote the policies of NATO expansion to the Russian border. For which reason? Russia has never been our enemy. But of course, this is its new propaganda they're trying to spread, making it look like Putin is in his imperialistic delirium. It will definitely try to invade every single European country, including Italy. But of course, nobody buys into that. I just mentioned it to make people understand how crazy this propaganda can be. But I'm saying people are tired of it. And I'm sure that once, as I hope, Donald Trump will be back on power in 2024, this will shift a lot of decision, even on the European continent, that will align to United States again. Because all I see is a lack of political awareness and an incompetence when it comes to promote our own interests, just to blindly fall into an agenda that is the one of Joe Biden, America.
Now, you support Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni wholeheartedly. What's her position on this when, you know, leading the country with everything you said in mind, and still being a part of the EU? I mean, this is going to be kind of difficult. You know, it's all these converging realities.
I've been pretty vocal about my support of Giorgia Meloni, which I believe is an outstanding leader, mostly when it comes to the management of domestic policies and preserving our conservative values. But when it comes to foreign policies, in particular the position of Italy in this conflict and the position of Italy within the European Union, I would say I'm sure she's in a very difficult position when it comes to balances many interests at the time, but I totally disagree. I would have advised her to have a completely different approach to the war in Ukraine, and also a different approach to European Union. Actually, she used to be one of the most vocal Eurosceptic until a few years ago, and I'm sure she's trying to balance many interests in a very wise way. But I think Italy's doing a very big mistake when it comes to the decisional power we still hold on to make our own decision toward financing the war or implementing sanctions to a country like Russia was nothing but an economic partner. And also in understanding the real reason behind this war, because of course there is this this facade of protecting democracy, protecting a country, which is a simplification, right? It's a really simplified version of what really is happening. And that's why I think the work we have done in Ukraine with Igor is very important, because it's just vehicle facts that are totally corroborated. None of them has been debunked as false. So people just should try to have their own opinion. And also the leadership level should understand probably better dynamics that were foreign to many of the same leaders before this even started. So it's important to put things in perspective. But right now, I'm really disappointed by Italy's position in this respect.
Now, you know, we've got, you know, it's very, very difficult to fathom for the average person. But the amount, the effect that Russian energy had on the world before, you know, is painfully evident. If you look at gas prices, fuel prices in the United States, where you wouldn't think it had that effect. It's just reactionary price increases. And, you know, Russia provided 10% of the U.S. oil supply. You know, that had to come from somewhere else. Where do you see the U.S. economy going from here? We've got about 2 minutes left right now.
Well, I think the United States is currently trying to provide alternative source of gas, and you have resources on your own. I think the biggest problem is on our side, European continent, if we will ever get the prices we were getting from Russia. And so if this inflation, which of course affects loudly the entire world, is going to affect also the United States, I think it will reverberate even louder on our continent, European continent. And this is a shame that it's even more shameful that our leaders wouldn't take this in consideration. But of course, the inflation is huge. The Biden administration has been catastrophic on many levels, including the price of life. Yes, and so I just hope that I really think it's paramount important that we awake consciousness to make better choices on 2024. The damage that have been done, of course, have been done already, but we should try to go back to policies that make the interests of America first and not of a corrupted president trying to cover up his corruption through a very sad management of foreign policies and financing wars on the European continent.
I agree with you 100%. Simona, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. You're always very enlightening.
Thank you so much, George. It's always a pleasure.
I can't wait till we can talk again.
Me too. Thank you so much.
This is TNT Radio's War of the Worlds, and we've had Simona Mangiante Papadopoulos with us today. Thanks for listening.